Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, and we're going to talk sports. We're going to have Rod Mullins in to talk NASCAR with us and get updated on the world of NASCAR as racers have taken to the e-NASCAR series, I guess we'll call it, right? The e-sports series to try to keep NASCAR alive and well, at least for the time being, as we all deal with the shutdown due to the coronavirus, COVID-19. So we'll talk with Rod about that. We'll talk about the scheduling for races, NASCAR's vowing to reschedule races that are being lost to the coronavirus. And so we'll get more on that and talk a little bit of sports just in general, maybe talk some life too. Rod's based down in Southwest Virginia, and he is a teacher down in Southwest Virginia. So we'll kind of get an update on how the news of yesterday here in Virginia, I guess a lot of states have decided to close school for the rest of the academic year. And so Rod, being a teacher, will kind of ask his thoughts on how that will impact him and his students. And that will be something to get a handle on here on our podcast. In fact, Rod's calling in right now, so let's go ahead and take his call. And Rod, hey, are you with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm with you. How you doing today?
I'm great. Great. How are you?
Yeah, doing okay. Trying to make it through this isolation thing that I'm having to get used to now for, gosh, what has it been? Almost two weeks now. So everything just changes from day to day. So I'm not able to get in a kind of a, norm, so to speak. So,
hey, before we talk NASCAR, I was just talking about how I wanted to ask you. So the news from in Virginia yesterday, on the news beat side of things, we'll talk some NASCAR in a second. The governor, among other actions, closing schools for the rest of the academic year. As we talked last week, our listeners now know that you're a teacher, you're a middle school and high school teacher. How does this impact you? Your local school system, I guess, has to make a decision as to what it's going to do. How will it impact your students?
Yeah, it's that's one thing that we're going to be discussing tomorrow. We're going to be getting in kind of a conference call with our principals, and we're going to be discussing things as to what we're going to play out for the rest of the semester of, you know, what would have been the regular semester. And I think the focus is still on right now at this point, still trying to have some sort of online or some kind of education or providing some sort of instruction some way online. Even though I just got done here a few minutes ago reading an email showing how many students did not have internet or did not have the computer or anything else to be able to have it. And so that kind of presents us a problem, what we're going to have to work with. And, we've got some other things going on too. There's, you know, the big thing down here, a lot of people are very upset over the fact of, the call has not been made on graduation so far. And there's some people that say, okay, let's go ahead and have graduation. Well, that's not a bad idea, but we're still kind of in this holding pattern. We don't know what's going to happen. If you go and you have graduation and you're still in the midst of this in the month of May, you're going to have to cancel it. We may end up having to do what Virginia Tech's having to do, and that is move everything to kind of an informal kind of graduation, maybe toward the first of the new school year. We don't know yet. A lot of these things are still, we're just still in question about a lot of things right now. But given the situation, we've had two cases that have popped up in Lee County, Virginia. That's the far end. That's in that far end of the state down here in Southwest Virginia. And then we've had one potential mentioned case of coronavirus. But as of right now, it's not been included on the official report with the governor just yet, but they're still just counting the two cases in Lee County in far Southwest Virginia for us. So right now we're in the clear, but that's not to say that, this is, still going around or things are going around with it. So we're kind of, like I said, we're still in that holding pattern to try to figure out what in the world we're going to be doing here in the next month or month and a half. But I think it also gives us a chance to be able to plan ahead and also kind of like the Boy Scouts, be prepared for something that's going to happen in the future. This way it may kind of push some of these teachers who have been reluctant to move into technology and online teaching into a more comfortable surrounding with it, because this has the potential of being something that if a situation like this happens again, we'd be a little bit more prepared for it. And I think they've done a remarkable job trying to help us through things, especially in Dickinson County where I work, to try to help us get through this. And I think we've still got a ways to go, but I think that's with everything. And, you know, everybody's in new territory with this, Chris.
And so as you were talking earlier too, on the personal side, having trouble getting used to almost 2 weeks now straight through of being out of school. How are you adjusting? How are you? And also, I presume your wife, Kim, is also, is she also working at home, or is she
I'm still
out?
You. Something came in. I'm sorry. Something came in. A call came in right then. So
also, how are you dealing personally with this? And also, you and your wife, is she also home, or is she still out working, off site, so to speak, out of the home, so to speak?
She's home. Likewise, I'm home, and we're kind of balancing things. Of course, we've got grandbaby also to kind of take care of at different times and to go see, and then also my dad. But my dad is 91, so we have to kind of keep track of him occasionally when my son's not able to and do certain things. And so, you know, that's sort of what we're doing. We're kind of, as the saying is, UVA Wise is director of communication made it very apparent, this phrase back several years ago. We're just hunkering down is what we're doing. We're hunkered down here. And although we don't have anything, or at least we don't think we have anything at this point, we're playing it safe. We just don't want to get out and get ourselves exposed and then the potential of something happening.
Yeah, especially you with a grandchild and a father who's 91. You got to be very careful on both ends of the spectrum there from that perspective. So good strategy there. All right, let's talk some NASCAR. Let's get away from the bad news, and let's think about something positive here, perhaps. As we talked last week, NASCAR has postponed its season until May 9th, and that would be in Martinsville if things would work out. Best case scenario, we'd be back in racing and everything else. Any word since last week, just in terms of what NASCAR is thinking schedule wise for 2020?
No, right now at this point, I know that they have on the table something what we talked about, and that was midweek races. They are talking about that, but where they're planning on doing this right, you know, at this point, kind of remains up in the air. There's some people that are talking at this point of maybe putting Bristol as a doubleheader weekend, and I don't know if that's going to really be a good thing or not in the month of September. Have a normal race on, say, Saturday, for example, and then turn around with a playoff race on that Sunday. It's kind of crazy. I don't know how they're going to do that, because traditionally that August race, which is now September, is traditionally a night race. Are you going to have two night races? Are you going to have the playoff race on the Saturday night and then have the daytime race, have it normally on the Sunday afternoon? You know, some of these drivers are not too keen on that. Some of them like the idea of having that midweek race because it would get some more people interested and draw some more crowds. That's what some of the NASCAR fans have been wanting here for several years, is to get a chance to play in front of a crowd during midweek and, you know, have it sort of like, I guess if you want to call it a World Wrestling Federation or World Wrestling Entertainment sort of thing, and bring some people out and get some new fans introduced. They're talking about that. The other thing is trying to compress these races that have been missed into this 36 race schedule, and that's going to be hard to do. There's going to have to be some sacrifices made somewhere along the line, but yeah, they're still talking about that. Of maybe having a doubleheader weekend. I know Pocono is going to be a doubleheader weekend regardless. We've not missed a Pocono race, but they are doing a doubleheader. And I think that was rightly so, because you go 1 month in, say the month of June, and then you turn around a month later and go back to Pocono. So they're going to avoid the travel on that one. It remains to be seen what they're going to do. There's a lot of questions right now. NASCAR, I just got on Twitter here just a little while ago, and the head of NASCAR, Steve O'Donnell, has come out, and he has started talking about some things. And across the board, there have been at least 20 to 25% pay cuts along the line to a lot of the staff and a lot of the people that work in NASCAR. Now, that's not everybody, but some of them are having to take cuts right now during this time while they try to figure out what they're going to do. So we've still got a lot of question marks remaining as to what's going to happen. And there's some people that's even still talking at this point. We may not be racing by the month of May. Formula One has decided, I think, to go ahead and move theirs to the start of June. The Indianapolis 500, the IndyCar League, they are still kind of weighing it. Of course, you've got the Indianapolis 500 that weekend in the last weekend in the month of May. But, you know, there's still some questions there whether or not they're going to have their deal starting. Of course, they have pushed back a St. Petersburg race, the road race that they had. So we're still in a lot of question marks. Will it present some different ideas? Who knows? We may see an IndyCar and a NASCAR race on the same weekend. It could happen. You just don't know how these crazy schedules are all going to play out just yet.
Yeah, and we have a comment on our stream here. So one of the neat things about doing a live podcast, Blake from Texas commenting, yeah, agreeing, Rod, that you just don't know if there's another way of fitting in 36 races without doing doubleheaders or moving races that are closer regionally. And, you know, I here's what I want to hope. You know, we're going to get through this and, you know, that kind of thing. And so maybe what ends up, I mean, we might look back on this in you know, maybe a year or two, 5 years, if we make some changes because we see that, hey, like a doubleheader actually works, or having a Wednesday night race actually works, or you know, having an IndyCar / NASCAR doubleheader on a Saturday, Sunday actually works. And we may end up getting some innovations out of this that stick with us in the long term that we just never tried before, because when things are working, you don't break them. But, you know, we may end up getting some things out of this that we think are positive and want to keep. And maybe that could be, hey, let's make a positive out of a negative possibly.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's going to have to go that route. NASCAR is going to have to kind of break out of their comfort zone, so to speak. And I know they've been comfortable with this 36 race schedule and always having it on, you know, a Saturday or a Sunday, not having it on Easter Sunday, not having it on Mother's Day, but then turning around, putting a race on Mother's Day and different things like that. But I think they're going to have to think outside of the box. And I know that's a commonly used phrase by a lot of people, but they are going to have to think outside the box when it comes to the future of the sport. And what are they going to do? Are they going to end up? Here's one thing that was brought up that was mentioned to me, maybe even cutting a 500 lap race down to maybe a 400 lap race, just little things along the line that will go and be able to get that race in, but put something out there that's a little bit different for the drivers. And I think by this past weekend and having that interactive, that iRacing event, there's definitely been a lot of people that have picked up in their interest now toward NASCAR, and of all things in the virtual world more than anything else.
Yeah, I have to admit that I was not paying close attention to know that NASCAR was doing this. I know it kind of came together pretty quickly last week. And the way it came to my attention was my wife, Crystal, tells me during the day on Sunday, hey, I keep seeing all these posts about NASCAR. Are they racing this weekend? I said, I'm 110% sure they're not racing. And then we found out what was going on. So we know that Denny Hamlin won. He just edged out Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jimmy Johnson caused several wrecks. It was kind of a funny thing there. But tell us, Rod, how this all came together. And, you know, I guess this is something that'll keep us going for a while.
Yeah, it'll keep us going for a while. As a matter of fact, as we record and go live here this afternoon, there is a replacements race that's going on tonight for Tuesday night. And I think that's going to be at Texas, if I'm not mistaken. I'll double check that to make sure. But you've got a lot of drivers that are going to be getting in on this race that's coming up tonight. Just saw here, oh, I guess it was yesterday, and then I saw the car design this afternoon. Ron Capps, who runs the NHRA, he's been doing some time in a simulator, and he's going to race tonight in this replacement race that's going to be televised on Twitch online that you can go and get streaming. But, you know, Sunday's race really jumped out at me because the thing that got my attention was Fox, and Fox coming in and saying Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon and Larry McReynolds are going to contribute to this. And I thought, wow, that's going to be a little bit different. And then when they decided to sit down on I think it's Friday and Saturday night, doing some little rehearsals down in Charlotte. Jeff Gordon was very pleased about it. He said, I think this is going to offer some surprises to a lot of people out there. And sure enough, it did. And I sat there and I was glued watching this race on Sunday afternoon. Yes, even though Jimmy Johnson wrecked, I was entertained by Clint Bowyer's comments. Almost all races, Clint Bowyer was, you know, just absolutely having the blast of his life, even though he was sitting in the studio just down so many feet from Jeff Gordon and Mike Joy, but he was having a blast. You had some of the other drivers. Dale Jr. was demonstrating how easy it was to just drive with one hand around the track at Homestead, and that really amazed me too. But in the end, Denny Hamlin came up and he had fresher tires, came up through there and, well, ended up winning the race and beating out Dale Earnhardt Jr. right there at the very end.
So how does this equate to anything in any way, shape or form to what really goes on the track? And also, the skill set, I guess, of these guys. I mean, for Hamlin and Earnhardt and Johnson to be, you know, conversant enough in this and versed enough in being able to do this this quickly. Is this something that NASCAR drivers, engage in a lot? Or is that something that we know at all?
A lot of the younger drivers have engaged in it. I know that Ryan Blaney there for a while. Ryan Blaney used to really get out on the track, and I think Kyle Busch maybe did for a little bit. They would get out there, and they would get on this online thing, and this was really before the iRacing started kicking in. They would get there and race against each other. They would race against each other on the NASCAR, sort of like through your Xbox or PlayStation, and that's what they did. And it helped Ryan Blaney, I think, when he picked up a win up at Pocono. He said, you know, he learned how Pocono really the lay of the track and how things were because it was so accurately done. And so they have gone back and they've really, I guess, more than anything, pushed an effort trying to get this iRacing in for people that are not going to be able to ever afford to have a race car underneath them. And so that means you, me, if we've got the setup of a decent virtual setup of where we've got a monitor in front of us and we've got a steering wheel and then we've also got the gas pedal and the brakes, we can engage in that and we can have some fun with it. There's some people right now that are having a blast with it, and Coca-Cola's gotten involved with iRacing. iRacing's been around here for several years, but Coca-Cola now, NASCAR is really coming into this. And with this race on Sunday, that's got a lot of people going, I think, a little bit more now into having something that's going to go and keep us satisfied while we're a little bit on this holding pattern and delay in NASCAR.
Yeah, reading about these rigs, as they're calling them, that they're setting up, I mean, it's interesting. NBA's tried this, or trying this, I should say. Virginia basketball alum Ty Jerome is apparently his Phoenix Suns team's best player on NBA 2K. And so he's been the Phoenix Suns started this right as soon as the NBA schedule went down. They've been playing their home games and road games, actually. They've been playing their schedule, and Ty Jerome has been representing the Suns and doing pretty well with that. But that's a video game. That's a little more elaborate. One part of the story I really liked, Rod, was that Denny Hamlin, he had pledged if he'd won the race, the Homestead race, that he would donate $5,000 to Miami families affected by COVID-19. And then Kevin Harvick jumped in and said he'd match Hamlin's pledge. And, of course, Hamlin won. So I like seeing that. I mean, it puts some stakes to it a little bit in a good way. And also for networks out there looking for content, it was content. We're all watching reruns of everything right now, especially us starved sports fans. And so this was something fresh. And so I imagine that the success, certainly we saw on social media, the fact that my wife said her Facebook feed was full of people commenting on this, that's got to be a good thing for NASCAR.
Yeah, it is a good thing for NASCAR, and NASCAR needed that right now at this point with having to cancel out the debacle that happened at Atlanta when that was dealt to the drivers and so forth. And some of the drivers hadn't even got out onto the track that much to even do anything. And then NASCAR said, let's pack it up and go home. And you kind of were like, you didn't know what was going to happen next. And then in walks, you know, iRacing and said, let's give it a shot and see what it's going to do. And so they start talking about it. And then Fox coming in and saying, hey, maybe we'll do this. We'll try this out and see if it's fun. And I heard Mike Joy several times during the broadcast on Sunday saying, this is just outrageous. This is so fun watching this. The only thing that was probably different than what you would see in a normal race is when they pull into the pits. You don't see a pit crew jump over the wall and come over and change tires or anything. You go in there, you choose or elect to take on two or four tires. You get like, almost like in golf, when golf you get a mulligan. Well, with this one, you go and you get three restarts or retries again. And if you get some car damage and you're able to bend that car damage out, you're able to get back on the track and at least race. But I tell you, the racing that was going on there for a while, a guy that we hear of only occasionally maybe out on the track, Timmy Hill. Timmy Hill had won, I forget how many races in iRacing, but he's not been that successful out on the NASCAR circuit on the Cup Series. And he was running toward the top right there before Dale Earnhardt finally just started beating around everybody and coming through the field. And, you know, this is even down to the very detail of having, you can get behind somebody, take a little bit of air off their spoiler, and you can turn them around. You can turn them around before it's over with. And a lot of these drivers were finding out it was a lot of fun on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, we better watch it. If it gets too popular, we might have iRacing replace NASCAR. It won't get that quite that way, but it's a good diversion for now. And that's great. Well, thanks for the reporting on that, Rod. And, I'd ask what else is going on, but there's nothing else going on, right? I mean, what else can we possibly say? We're all stuck at home right now.
Well, that's true. And I mean, like I said, we've got that race that's coming up tonight. Right. I know that that's a replacement race, but you know, they're wanting people to kind of keep their eyes and ears open for the upcoming events that's going to be going on. And, you know, here's another thing, too, before we get out of here. The tracks are getting involved in a lot of things right now with all this COVID-19 virus. I know Bristol Motor Speedway was having a big blood drive yesterday because they're having such a shortage of blood with many of these things going on, and people think that when something like this breaks out, you can't go and give blood. They need blood like that more than ever in events like this. And then Charlotte Motor Speedway has now, they have taken their complex and they have repurposed it for a drive-through COVID-19 remote testing site. And so they've got it set up there to where people can just pretty much drive up, come in and, you know, get tested, and then they can get the results later. So, you know, the racing family is getting involved in this, albeit a little bit, you know, small and kind of reserved right now because they're still trying to feel their way through what they need to do. But when you've got venues like Charlotte Motor Speedway opening up and letting them go and be able to do COVID-19 testing, even at the Z-Max Dragway, which is right across the road from Charlotte Motor Speedway, I think that's a great thing being put on by some of these track owners and also by the series itself.
That's Rod Mullins. He's our NASCAR contributor here on Augusta Free Press. And say, hey, Rod, do us a favor if you could. When you see news like that from NASCAR, if you could share that with Crystal Graham. She's our digital editor on Augusta Free Press. We just gave her that title last week. She's been doing a bang-up job on Facebook with our Facebook page. We have about 100,000 fans. We'd love to share anything like that from any of the tracks you see news. If we could do our part to share that news too, that might help a little bit too. So if you could, just get in touch with Crystal and let her know those kind of things you know going on in NASCAR.
I'll be glad to forward it on to her and let her be able to get the news out to everybody. That wouldn't be a problem at all.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you, Rod, for your time. And for our listeners out there, thank you for joining us. And thanks for the comment from Blake from Texas as well. Great to have a comment on the stream here as we talk. So, well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up another podcast from Augusta Free Press today. Signing off for Rod Mullins, I am Chris Graham. Have a great day, everybody.